has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm certainly grateful for each of you who are on this particular study tonight, and we believe in God for a mighty move of His Spirit. Lady Kim will join us shortly, but we thank God for His Spirit's abiding presence, for truly this is indeed the day that He's made. And so we have a right of responsibility, and we have reason to yet give Him praise. If God continues to bless us in spite of ourselves and sustain us in the season of ups and downs, then we ought to give Him praise. If God has allowed us another opportunity to get out of the bed, put our feet on the floor, then we have a responsibility to give Him praise. For we're nothing without Him, and we know that in Him we do live, move, and have our being. This is Bible study for Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church, and this is our Monday manner. We're going to be studying, continuing our study in terms of the 73 Psalms that are attributed to David. And tonight we're going to try to tackle Psalm 24, Psalm 31, and 38. If we can get through that, then we'll be right on track in terms of where we're trying to go as we close out this study by the end of the year. I hope and pray that each of you have had a blessed day today. You can see how the weather is changing. The seasons are changing. Thanksgiving is behind us. But as we always say, every day is a day of Thanksgiving. And then we're looking forward with tiptoe anticipation for Christmas. And we're right in the midst of our Advent season. So let's start tonight with a word of prayer, and then we're going to just do a brief recap from yesterday, and then we'll jump into this word for tonight. We're in Psalm 124, Psalm 131, and 138 for tonight. Very brief verses in all of those Psalms, and so hopefully we'll be able to cover those tonight. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you. We do thank you for this day. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. Thank you for being God and God alone. Thank you, dear Lord, for sustaining us throughout this day, covering us and keeping us. And then, God, we thank you for how you bless us even in spite of ourselves. We pray now, dear Lord, that even as we have gathered tonight on this Monday night to study your word, we pray that your word will indeed be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And so now, God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and praise God. All right, a very powerful day on yesterday as we gathered in the house of the Lord. We certainly praise God for the Ole Miss Gospel Choir that was present with us in our worship experience. And they led us right through our worship, and we had a powerful time. And we're certainly grateful for those young people traveling all the way from Oxford and making their way to Atop in the city of Memphis. But on yesterday, we did the sermon entitled The Message of Christmas and the Hope of Advent. And really, the second Sunday in Advent, Advent is a time of anticipation, preparation, as well as expectation as we prepare for the second coming of Christ. And so we talked a little bit about that. But this story, in terms of the message of Christmas, it's a very powerful passage found in Luke's Gospel 8 through 12. And just a time of reflecting and a time of refreshing, a time of remembering, a time of just reacquainting ourselves with what happened some 2,000 years ago, and then also giving us an opportunity to see God's Spirit move and become quick and alive within us, even as we go forward. And that passage of Scripture, of course, Luke, the second chapter, verses 8 through 12, it talks about how the shepherds were living out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock. And we started out talking about how God did not allow this announcement to come to the high and the mighty. He did not send this announcement through those who were prestigious and those who had all of the trimmings and the trappings of success. But it came to some lowly shepherds, and they were considered to be dirt people. And so we just tried to emphasize the fact that in this message, you see the character of this Christmas message coming out, and that God uses ordinary people. And aren't you glad tonight that he uses ordinary people just like you and me in order to fulfill his purposes? And the key to that whole piece is that we have to be ready to receive him. And many times we look for things in the way in which we think they ought to come. And this passage is clear that Jesus came in a way that nobody expected, but he spoke to those that nobody thought he would speak to. And he had a powerful message that he shared with those who were considered to be the low class, the down and out, the down and trodden, and those who had no resume to think of. And so it is with us. And we tried to emphasize that on yesterday, that if we but yet receive him, then he will speak to us. And I just believe tonight that God is going to speak to somebody even before this year is out, and give them a powerful reminder that he will come and meet you right where you are. Society might consider you to be a nobody, but you are somebody when it comes to God. Somebody say amen. And so this whole passage just really kind of reflected on the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, and the hope of the Christmas story, because it reminds us that we too can expect good tidings and great joy to come to us during this season. And we ought not grow weary in well-doing, but we ought to stand on tiptoe, expecting God to come in and do something powerful. So we talked about the content of that message as well. If Jesus was able to come in a form of a baby, and he was able to bring a message of hope, then so it is today. All who have received him, he's bringing that same message of hope. And then we didn't get to the last point. It was conflict. And I'm intrigued if I could just touch that a little bit on this Sunday as we move to the Christmas and move through this Advent season. I'm certainly excited. This is a season of the year that we ought to be excited as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then as we look with eager anticipation for his second advent, for his second return, for his second coming, if you will. And so we just kind of shared and laid that out. I'm certainly grateful we had a powerful time in the worship, as we indicated, and a lady joined yesterday, and we had a couple of baby dedications, Sister Echols, and so we're just excited that God moved in a powerful and a mighty way. The message of Christmas is not about the clause, but it's all about the Christ. And we know that Jesus is indeed the reason for the season. Well, let's prepare to go into our study for tonight. We're going to be in Psalm 124, and then we're going to try to tackle 131 and then 138 for tonight. And so even as you're turning, we do praise God for each of you. I'm trying to get my phone connected with where we are so that we can make sure that we're all on the same page and that we're getting a clear signal, and that everybody is on point tonight. I see something here. Here it is. Okay. All right. And Lady Kim is going to join us shortly. Dr. Qualise, I see you saying he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. It's not about the clause, but it's about the Christ. And so we have to live with a sense of expectancy and anticipation of what God is about to do in our lives, and know that there's absolutely nothing too hard for the Lord. How many of you believe that tonight? God can and he will make a way somehow. And if we but yet trust and never doubt, surely he will bring us out. And we have a right, a reason, and responsibility to yet express our gratitude and appreciation to God for all that he's done, all that he's doing, and all that he will do. Somebody say amen. All right. Well, you see, Lady Kim had a meeting tonight with her class as she's preparing for this next semester. She's normally my reader for me, but we're in Psalm 124. there are only about 8 verses there. And the heading for this particular psalm has to do with God's deliverance. God's deliverance. And so this is a very powerful, power-packed psalm. Even though there are only 8 verses, it talks about the Lord's protection. It talks about the Lord's presence and preeminence. And so we'll see all of that coming out in this particular psalm. Just 8 verses, but it also gives us a clear indication, watch this now, that God is on our sides. David is still the author. These are the 73 psalms attributed to David. And you'll see that we'll be jumping around as we move through. We're going to skip from Psalm 124 to 131, because all of the psalms, of course, were not attributed to David, but just 73 of those psalms were. And that's been our study. And so in Psalm 24, it's really, the title would be God's deliverance. If we were to put a tag on this particular psalm, it would be God's deliverance. Psalm 24, let me see if I can find it. Here it is. And this Bible talks about how the Lord, the defense of his people. The Lord, the defense of his people. And this is a very familiar passage of scripture. We hear this quoted oftentimes in worship. Verse number 1, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our sides, let Israel now say. And he goes back and he repeats that again in verse number 2. If it had not been the Lord who was on our sides, when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. Isn't that something? David is really talking about the presence of God. Because, you know, there are so many things that happen to us and that so many things that we experience in life that many times we don't know that God has already moved in that situation long before we got there. And then sometimes the things that we worry about, God has already made a way out of that situation and he's moved on. And so David is saying here that, you know, we've got to remember the presence of God. God is indeed a present help in a time of trouble. And so that means that it makes no difference how violent your situation or how delicate it might be. God has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said, I'll be with you always, even until the end. And so that lets you know that even when you don't feel God's presence in your life, God's promises still prevail. And so God will make a way. God will walk with you. He is our shepherd. He goes before us. There's absolutely nothing that comes upon us that does not pass his inspection. And so we have to have confidence in the fact, knowing that whatever it is we're faced with, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a financial woe, whether it's a relationship that's seemingly going sour, God has promised that he would provide his presence. And here's what Paul says, that Paul says that we can do all things through the very Christ that strengthens us. And so when you get the strength and when you gain strength in the midst of your struggles, it's because God is with you. And so David is clear here. And so even though we make reference to this particular psalm in sermons and just in our conversation and when we talk about the goodness of God, David is talking about the Lord, the defense of his people. And he's clear when he says, if it had not been for the Lord. And need I remind you tonight on this Monday night that you are here because of the grace of God. If it had not been for the Lord on our sides, David said, when men rose up against me, then would they have swallowed me alive. I tell you, some of the predicaments that we've come out of, it was because of the very presence of God sustaining us in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of things that we didn't completely understand. And as I say oftentimes, even if you don't have the possession, you have to continue to stand on the promises of God, because his promises are sure and his satisfaction is guaranteed. You want the presence of God. You want God to be with you. You want God to be your shepherd. You want God to order your steps. For the Bible says the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. And so you want that to happen. You need to have the kind of confidence, even as we prepare to close out this year and stand on tiptoe with an expectation of what God is going to do next year. We need to have the blessed assurance that God's promises will prevail. Wow. Yeah, you need that kind of assurance. And so we're certainly excited. This is a power pack. We're in Psalm 124 for those of you who are just coming on. But it's just talking about God's defense of his people. And then David is acknowledging the presence of God. But then when he gets into verse 3 through 5, he's really talking about the protection of God. Look at it. It's right there. He says, then they would have swallowed me alive. That's what he's talking about when men would rise up against him, when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our souls. And so he's talking about God's protection here. And so be assured that God will protect you, and he will keep you. And when you have confidence in knowing that he is your shepherd, and you have did everything that you needed to do in order to align with what God requires of you, then you can count on God's promises being there, and you can count on his presence, but you can also count on his protection. Wow, that's a lot, isn't it? Because many times, just as David experienced people coming against him, people might not come against you the same way that David experienced it here in Psalm 124. But there can be tribulation, there can be trials, there can be difficulties, there can be turmoil in the house, there can be situations that is beyond our control. But know that God's protection is with us. And so there are a lot of things that God maybe has already protected us from that we had no idea about, because he is our shepherd and he cares for us. All right, let's continue. We're in Psalm 124 and we're at verses 6 through 8. And in those 6 through 8 verses, he's talking about the Lord's preeminence. And so look at it. Here's what it says. He says, blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey on their teeth, prey on their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Oh, help. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Isn't that something? So he's acknowledging the fact that God is his presence is there. His protection is there, and his preeminence is there. He's all around us. He's in us, and he cares about us, and he knows what we're going through. And so he has made provisions so that we might get through whatever it is we're faced with. But we have to have the boldness and the sure confidence and determination in knowing that we have that kind of confidence in God, and that God has our best interests at heart. And so if we were to really kind of give you something as a takeaway for this particular psalm, there's only 8 verses, Psalm 124, it would be God is on our side. Yeah, God is on our side. That's a powerful reminder for somebody tonight. God is on your side. When people walk away from you, God is on your side. And I think even in earlier in the psalms, David declared, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Watch this now. And you're familiar with this. But the Lord delivered them out of them all. So hang on in there. Don't grow weary. Trust the timing of God. He may not come when you want him to. Maybe he's trying to get something done in you to prepare you for the next level of what he's trying to bring to pass in your situation. God is always up to something. And that favorite psalm, favorite verse in 1 Corinthians, eyes have not seen nor ears heard, neither have they entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for them that love him. So if you love God, if you believe his word, if you trust in him, and you have confidence that God will see you through, then you know that even though you're going through some situations, God has promised that he would give you the victory. All right, so God is on our side. Let's move over to Psalm 131. Let your fingers do the walking tonight. Psalm 131, believe it or not, there are only three verses here in this particular psalm. And so it's simply a psalm that talks about trust in the Lord. We've got to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not into our own understanding. And the proverb writer would say, in all of our ways, not just some of our ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct our path. That's why Matthew would declare that we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added unto us. Sometimes we get that all twisted and we want God to bail us out of a situation before, once we have gotten into a mess. But many times we have to, I believe this will help us get the breakthrough as we go forward. Many times, listen to me clearly now, many times we have to put God ahead of what we're going through. That's what Matthew is talking about, seeking first the kingdom of God. That's priority, and his righteousness. That's humbling ourselves and being submissive to what God requires of us. Right living, living in a way that brings glory and honor to his name. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so you have to, the message, you know, you have what you believe about God is what's really going to get you through the situation that you're in. And how you live your life should be evident of the fact that you have confidence in God and that you're not looking at your situation. Watch this. But you're focusing on the God who's able to deliver you in the midst of whatever it is you're going through. So many times, and we've said it before, and I think it dares the need to be repeated again. So many times we get so caught up in focusing in on our situation and our circumstances till we fail to recognize the God who's able to deliver us from our situations and our circumstances. So if God's got you in a situation and you're feeling all uptight, God got you in a place where you're looking more at what's happening and what the enemy is trying to do in terms of distracting you, then you've got to make sure that you allow Matthew 6:33 to be present in your situation and in your circumstance, and that you have aligned yourself with the will of God, and that you know that even though you might be in a tight spot right now, God has promised that he would see you through. And I believe that oftentimes God allows a work to happen in us before he moves us. It's almost like, you know, back in the day they would give you promotions from one class to another. And you had to stay there until you actually learned the lesson before you can go to the next grade. But they've moved away from that now. I'm telling you how I'm showing my age when I talk about this, but many of you know what I'm talking about. They will go ahead and let people move on through the system. But when we were coming through elementary school, you have to pass all of the requirements before you move to the next level. And so, and even if you were a little smarter than other people, then the teachers and the administrators would recognize that. And they would talk to your parents about the possibility of you moving ahead because you were really already ahead of the area that you were in, and they would move you ahead. But it had to be evidence. And so you have to learn the lesson and what I'm trying to get you to see in the place where you are, so that God can prepare to move you to the place that he wants you to be, and you'll be prepared for whatever else next is coming. You know, a lot of times people think that once they come out of a situation or once they have overcome a particular battle or a particular obstacle that they can rest on their laurels and be at ease in Zion and think that everything else is going to be all right. But you know, each victory helps us some other to win. And so when we come out of a situation, God releases us from that in order to prepare us for what's next ahead. Because you know what John 10:10 says? It says that the thief what? That's right, coming not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus himself says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So the devil will continue to try to confuse and take your mind off of what God has in store for you. And he comes to steal your dreams, to destroy your hopes. He comes to take away everything that Jesus wants to give, the enemy is trying to take away from you. But tonight, on this Monday night, we speak against the attack of the enemy. And we decree and declare that we're going to stand firm in the things of God. And no weapon, come on, somebody type it in, no weapon, that's right, that's formed against you shall be able to prosper. And so man might intend it for evil. Man might try to throw all kinds of obstacles your way. But God, somebody type, but God. But God will make a way out of no way. God, as a matter of fact, he'll open doors that no man can shut. And he'll turn right around and he'll shut some doors. Come on, Lady Kim, and join us. And we're waiting on you. This is your show. I'm just sitting in to you. Come on the scene. Oh. But God will open doors that no man can shut. And he'll turn right around and he'll shut some doors that no man can open. Y'all believe that, don't you? So we have to trust the timing of God and not to grow weary. And know that God will see you through. Each victory will help you some other to win. So we're Lady Kim, we're in Psalm 131, and I've been preaching, doing a little teaching tonight, but we've already covered 124, and we got a good group on tonight. I told them you had a meeting with your class as you're preparing for this semester that's about to start.
It was too much.
Too much.
Overwhelming, very overwhelming.
And so I didn't have my reader tonight. I didn't have my help, but I feel my help coming.
They
now.
Say you preaching tonight, though.
I feel my help coming.
They say you preaching tonight. Hey, everybody, I'm glad to be here.
All right. So, Lady Kim, we're in Psalm 131 now, and there are only three verses there, and it's really a power-packed three verses, but it also it gives us a reminder about how we need to humble ourselves. And I think even though these verses are short, it gives us a clear indication that we have to have true humility, and then we can expect a triumph hope in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so if you have those verses, if you would read those for us, and then we'll see whatever other comments might be on the screen, or anybody else want to share a little bit on those particular three verses, Psalm 131.
All right, I had it in it. Oh, here it is. And then it flipped out. Psalms 131.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm reading from the NIV version. It says, my heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore.
Okay. Three verses, power packed. But do you see that humility coming out of those verses as David is talking about true humility, and he's talking about triumph of hope? Mm-hmm. And even though these verses are short, that's in essence what it's saying. And I think the header for this one has to do with a song of the humble. Is that what you would say?
A song of the humble, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so this psalmist is really just trying to tell us and reflect in terms of his innermost being, in terms of where he is with God and how he's humbled himself in such a way that he understands that God honors that. And so it is with us. Even though we might be faced with situations, all of us should have a song that speaks to our humility.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, the psalmist is talking about, or he's telling the Lord that, you know, his heart is humbled, mm-hmm. you know, that he's not haughty or lifted up with pride, nor are his eyes looking with envy on those that are above him, or disdain on those who are below him.
Okay.
And so I think that's important, because a lot of times when we tend to see people that are less fortunate than ourselves, mm-hmm. sometimes we tend to look down on them with disdain.
Okay.
You know, okay. if we see someone on the street who is, you know, homeless, or appears to be homeless, or appears to have mental health challenges, sometimes, you know, if we're approached by them, we might look down upon them mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. disdain. And so as Christians, you know, we are to love and treat everybody with love and kindness.
Okay.
Nor are we to lift up, you know, ourselves and be haughty, or, you know, proud, or... So that's what the psalmist is mm-hmm, saying here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's humbling himself.
That's right. And so I guess the takeaway from these three, it's only three verses there. It's really a psalm of contentment. And we need to have that innermost peace that comes as a result of our humility and understanding who God is and what he's done and what he will do. And so even if we're going through, as we talked about earlier, we can always count on God, and the situation might look difficult at times, and it might seem as if it's a barrier that's beyond our reach or beyond us overcoming in the natural, but we have to count on God to deliver us and cling to his promises even when we don't have the possession.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move then to Psalm 138, 138. That's Psalm 138. And I think there are about eight verses there as well. We're moving right through, and we've already covered 124, and we just finished 131, which was only three verses. And so now we're moving to Psalm 138. Psalm 138, and there are about eight verses there.
Yes. You want me to read all eight verses?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple, and I will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me and greatly emboldened me. May the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing of your ways. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great.
Mm-hmm.
Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar.
Okay.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
Wow. Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? And there are only eight verses there, but the heading for this particular Psalm 138 talks about the Lord is faithful. This is David now. He's still dealing with this third section of these 73 Psalms attributed to him, God among us. And I think that's a powerful reminder for us that God is faithful. Even in an unfaithful world, and where it looks as if unfaithfulness is winning the battle, we have to continue to hang our hat on the fact that God is faithful.
Yes.
And so David has gone through a lot, and he's continuing to be steadfast in his witness to God and understanding that he needs that kind of confidence in God in order that he might be able to get through whatever it is he's going through. So we see humility. We just finished talking about it. And now we see God's faithfulness. And I believe, Lady Kim, that God honors when he honors our humility, and many times dangers that's saying seen and unseen, those unseen dangers is because God is watching over us and he's protecting us even when we get past some things that we didn't know he had already handled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Any thoughts you want to have? Because this really kind of talks about trusting God when things go wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, people, when things are going good, they seem to have a little bit more, not so much confidence, but a lack of really being thrust into trusting God because things are going well. And most of the time you will see people getting back to their disciplines and getting back to what it takes in order that they should have been doing long before. When they get into a bad fix or when they get into a situation, they start calling on the name of the Lord. They start praying. They're at the altar. They are crying out. They are asking the intercessors to intercede. All of that is good when we're going through. But I think when we have built up a reservoir, if you will, of confidence in God, it helps us to get through those areas, because all of us are going to have difficulties. Everybody's going to have trial, but we ought not just wait until we find ourselves in a fix or in a mess before we start really getting serious about our spiritual disciplines to God.
Mm-hmm. And I think when you were talking, I was thinking that when things are going well for us, we're self-confident. You know, we have a lot of confidence in what we can do or what we can accomplish. But when we get in trouble, you know, then we are very reliant on God, when we should be just as equally relying on God as when things are going well as when they're not going well. Because one thing about life is, as we live it, things are not going to go our way all the time. This is not going to be a flowery bed of roses. The road is not going to always be smooth. Sometimes there are going to be bumps in it. Sometimes there are going to be pits in it. Sometimes, you know, it's even going to feel like we're falling off the side of a cliff. Mm-hmm. In it. But if we rely on God, the Lord is faithful.
Okay.
And that he will carry us through.
He will see us through.
Yes.
Why do you keep kicking me under the table when you're saying that? All right. But this is a power pack psalm. This is 138. The Lord is faithful. And it really gives us a clear handle that we need to trust God even when things go wrong. And I think that was kind of some of what we were just expressing. Because in this psalm, you see gladness, you see grace, you see glory, and you see government, and you see growth. Those are some G's that I kind of pulled from that. But throughout these eight verses, David is speaking with gladness. He's reflecting on God's grace. And he's giving God glory, and he's talking about the situation that he's faced with in terms of Israel. And then you see growth happening. And I think that will happen in all of our lives once we establish a precedence and we put in priority the things that bring glory and honor to God. If we bless God, if we get excited about his grace, and we understand how important it is for us to give him the glory, and not to get in a situation when things are going bad for us, then we just automatically, we start, you know, putting all of our confidence in God. But if we do that on a consistent basis, I believe that things will go well for us, even though we're going through some difficult situations.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Gladness, grace, glory, and growth.
Mm-hmm.
That'll preach right there.
That's right. That's 4 points to take you on home right there.
Yes, that'll take you on.
So really, this psalm, Lady Kim, is a psalm of thanks for answered prayers. Isn't that something? We need to thank God in advance, because God is not like man that he should lie. But God, if God said he would do a thing, it shall come to pass. And so if we know that God not only hears, but he answers our prayers, then we should have the kind of confidence in believing God's going to see us through till we can just go ahead and thank him in advance.
Amen.
And so even though it may not happen according to our timetable, or it may not happen according to when we think it should, we know that God is going to do what he needs to do in that situation in order that we might overcome. For greater, the Bible says, is he that's within you now, watch this, than he that's within the world. So we need to have that kind of confidence. And I think I made mention of that earlier, that as we close out this year and as we look with eager anticipation during this season of Advent for the second return of Christ, we need to continue to have the kind of confidence and the blessed assurance that God's going to see us through.
Amen.
And so I'm looking forward to next year because I believe God's going to see me through this year. Mm-hmm. And so if he comes even before the end of this year, I'm ready for when he comes. So we got to have that kind of assurance and that kind of confidence in knowing that God is going to do what he said he would do.
Yes, he will. Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
You're ready. You got to be ready.
Yes.
That's right. Will you be ready? That's right.
Wasn't that a song?
What?
Will you be ready when Jesus comes? What was that?
Yeah, that was one of those old hymns, those old songs.
Sign me up.
For the Christian Jubilee. Write my name.
On the road. I've been changed. Since the Lord has lifted me.
I want to be ready
when Jesus comes.
Hey.
Yes.
See that? How that just came up out of the spirit? Some of y'all don't even remember that song.
Yeah.
Sign me up. Well, I believe that was it.
Sign me up. I'm going to be ready. And you know, although the psalmist walked in the midst of trouble during a great part of his life, you know, he was persecuted and, you know, a lot of things happened to David, but he believed that God would stretch forth his hand, you know, and continue to keep him and guide him and lead him. And he knew that God was going to take care of his enemies.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
So, you know, we have to keep in mind the scripture that says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I shall repay. Not me, but God said he will repay. So, you know, when the enemy comes against you like a flood, wow, we have to lift up a standard.
That's right.
The standard against them. God will completely vindicate us in his way and in his time.
All right. Well, anything else? Any other comments you see coming through? I see Sister Pat, our newest member.
Our very newest member.
That's right. And we mentioned that earlier. So glad that she came forward on yesterday. She says, I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You're ready?
When Jesus comes.
When he comes. Uh-oh. That's right. All right. Well, I guess if we were to close out this Psalm 38, it would be a psalm of thanks for answered prayers. And so that's what we were alluding to earlier, because we have the kind of confidence knowing that God is going to answer our prayers. Yeah, we ought to just go ahead and thank him in advance. Many people have a prayer on the line even tonight, Lady Kim, and going through some situations. And, you know, as the old saying goes, if you're going to pray, why worry? If you're going to worry, then why are you going to pray? But if you're going to pray and believe that God is going to do what he said he would do, and he will, then you can just go ahead and thank God in advance for what you have, that prayer that you have on the line. And even though it might take you a different direction than you might want to go, and it might not happen according to your personal timetable or the agenda that you have set for it to come to pass. And sometimes we want to get ahead of God, but we got to wait on God. We got to make sure that we trust him even when we can't trace him.
Yeah.
And know that God will, in fact, see us through.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
So somebody ought to go ahead and thank him in advance.
I'm thanking him right now.
That's right. That's right. I'm praising him right
yes.
now.
Yes.
Because I have a prayer on the line. Do you have a prayer on the line? You trying
I
to get
I do.
Through?
I just got off this call, this meeting. I got a major prayer on the line.
I know, right?
I got a dump truck load of prayers on the line,
and God's already been there. That's what we talked about earlier. You know, that's the key indicator, one of the key indicators of him being our shepherd. He goes before us, and so there's nothing that we're going through that hadn't passed
his
God's inspection.
That's right.
And so that thing that we're worrying about that's gonna happen March of next year, God's already been there and gone.
Yep.
And the reason he can provide for our needs is because he precedes our needs.
Oh, hallelujah.
Somebody better write that down.
Yes,
now.
Lord.
And what he precedes, he provides for.
Amen. He will.
I'm going to be quiet because I
you're
feel something.
You're preaching tonight.
I feel something moving in here.
I hear you preaching tonight. See, you talk about me trying to sneak preach. You sneak
well,
preaching tonight.
You left me handicapped.
Oh, I abandoned you tonight.
So I had to come over. I had to pray. I was in here praying.
I abandoned you. I know, right? Well, look, I had forgotten all about the meeting. I was on my way home and one of my classmates texted me and said, "Are you getting on the meeting?" I was like, "Meeting?"
Who?
She said, "Yeah, the cohort meeting." I was like, "Oh Lord, I forgot." So that's how that went. Sorry.
Yeah. No, we're good.
And I got all thrown off. I got all discombobulated when they started dumping all that work, how the class was gonna work.
But that prayer has already been answered. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
so you just need to release that and just go on, get in your books and go for it, because God's already been there and he's gone. So sometimes we have to allow our experiences to catch up with the Word of God. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we have to allow those prayers that we have on the line already to catch up with what God has already done.
Right.
Because God is looking at our hearts, and man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And so if our hearts are right and we are right in right standing, that's what Matthew is talking about. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, right living, right standing. Then God is already answering a lot of prayers that we're just waiting to be manifested in the natural. You follow?
Amen. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that thing in March, you don't even worry about that, Lady Kim. God's already got that.
Okay.
But you gotta go ahead and get in them books. Now that doesn't excuse you from your discipline of study.
Right.
And that's the same thing we were talking about, right?
Mm, right.
Because people wanna wait till they get in a fix before they try to call God in to get them out of it.
Right. But I'm calling on him right now.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, come see about me.
All right now. Well, we're going to stop at 38 tonight, Lady Kim. And I think our next study will take us into 39, if I'm not mistaken. And then there will be...
There's 24 verses in 139.
And then
140.
For
there
next
13
week.
13 verses, yes, mm-hmm. for next week.
Okay. 139 and 140 for next week, and then we'll have another week to go where we will take on
two weeks.
Yeah. Okay, we take on 141 and we go all the way through the end of December. So we might try to just go ahead and get some of that fleshed out before the end of the year, because we got a lot of other things we're going to be dealing with.
Okay,
and not have that study that last Monday in the month, but we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sounds
and if we
good.
Can go ahead and push the metal to the pedal, then we can, I believe we can finish this study up. We're going to be going into the book of Joshua, the 1st of January, Joshua, 24 chapters. And so just giving you some heads up, and that's going to be a powerful study. And I think it's going to be right in line with where we're going with our theme for next year. And it's going to help us even as we enter into our fast and as we go through our anniversary celebration. Joshua is going to be really giving us the direction and marching orders as we go through.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about that.
Yeah. All right. Well, are there any prayer requests tonight? Any prayer requests or praise reports? It's certainly good to see each of you on the call tonight. We want to receive those prayer requests and, any concerns that you might have. We want to touch and agree and believe God with you around those concerns. If there are those of you who have them, just go ahead and list those on the ticker. What is this thing called where it comes through? Is that the ticker tape?
No, that's
nope.
Not the ticker tape.
All right.
I guess it's the comment section,
okay.
The comment line.
And when it scrolls up, what is that called?
I don't know. Scrolling up.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. Ticker tape. But no, that's something I think it has to do with the stock market or something. I don't know.
Yes.
That's really way over there somewhere. But, all right.
Of course, lift up.
The feed. There it is.
All right.
Put it in the feed. That's what I was looking for.
Prayers for Sister Evelyn Oliver and mm-hmm. her family and the loss of her nephew in Pompano, Florida. I do not have those arrangements as of yet. I plan on calling her soon, but please lift up Sister Evelyn Oliver and her family in your prayers.
Okay. All right. And anything else we need to be aware of as it relates to those bereavements or sick and shut in from our congregation?
Well, Sister Jessica is asking prayer for the Jones, Key, Small, and Pride family. Mm-hmm. We don't know the particulars, but God knows what's going on. So we want to lift them up. Even as we call their name out, we ask that God will work on their behalf.
Okay. All right. So, Brother Thomas Doggett, he was released from the hospital.
Wonderful.
And so we want to continue to keep him in prayer, and his wife as well, who's taking care of him as he's recouping at home.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. All right.
Anything else?
That's all I can think of. Well, no, that's not all I can think of. Don't forget that we are in the midst of, we're wrapping up Vouchers for the Vulnerable. Thank you so much for all who have contributed to Vouchers for the Vulnerable. We're close to meeting our $2,000 goal. so I think we have $1,850 to date. So mm-hmm. we're close to that $2,000 goal. So if you have not contributed, just $20 will purchase a voucher booklet. And that voucher booklet will provide 4-night shelter for a homeless person. Mm-hmm. So purchase a voucher booklet, purchase two, you know,
yeah.
and allow someone to have a warm night's stay in a shelter, because the weather is going to get pretty cold soon. So it's been mild or off and on, but we want to make sure that they have somewhere warm to stay. And then our Angel Tree program, mm-hmm, you can find the link online on our Constant Contact. We've sent that information out to you. We have adopted 50 angels. So please go online. Angel Tree is $25. So please go on the virtual link and adopt an angel for this Christmas. We have lots to ahead of us to prepare for our 22nd birthday, our anniversary. So please be mindful that we will start a fast on January the 3rd. So get your mind ready, start getting your heart ready, start getting your pantry ready.
22 days.
Amen. 22 days. So the link is on your feed for the Angel Tree. So you can click on that link that's coming up on your feed. All right, and I think the youth and the children and student ministry will sponsor a Holly Jolly Holiday Game Party on December the 18th from 3 to 5 p.m. So students kindergarten through 12th grade are welcome to sign up. Sign up, because we have to know how many to prepare for. We have several games, and we want to have enough materials and things for everybody, all the children and youth who are going to show up. And on that same day, December the 18th, will be our congregational meeting at 12 noon. So that link has already been sent out as well.
Okay. All right. Well, we're certainly grateful for this time that God has allowed us to spend together tonight. And will you close us out with a word of prayer, Lady Kim?
Sure. Let us pray. Gracious God in heaven, we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for providing for us, God. You thank you for making a way out of no way. We lift up the prayer request tonight, God, the prayers for the Jones, Key, Small, and Pride family, prayers for Sister Evelyn Oliver and her family, prayers for continued healing for Brother Doggett, all the others that are on our sick and shut in list, God, we ask that you would look after them and meet every need in their lives. Now, God, as we end this Bible study on tonight, we thank you, God, for your abiding presence in this study. We thank you that you continue to reveal things through your word that strengthen us and allow us to continue to go forward and press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We thank you for all those who consistently tune in each week to this Bible study. We pray, oh God, that their lives are enriched as well. We thank you for this time we've had together. Bless our efforts as we continue to go forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And praise God. Thank God for each of you tonight. And we praise God for his Spirit's abiding presence. And this is a season where celebration should be high. Spirit should be high, particularly for believers. It's not about the clause, but it's about the Christ. Jesus is indeed the reason for the season. And so we have a right, a responsibility, and we have a reason to give him praise.
Amen. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Love you guys.
Till next time.
See you next Monday.
Be blessed.
Bye-bye.